Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, it's widely known that China is no easy place to be a Christian. China's communist government allows a certain number of registered churches, but it still is largely opposed to the teaching of the gospel message. One organization that's working really hard to support China's Christians and help them grow in their faith is an organization called Chinese Church Support Ministries. Its international director is Ross Patterson. He's a Scot. He's spent 40 years as a missionary in Asia, and he's currently visiting Australia and joins me now in the studio. It's nice to have you here, Ross. Welcome.
Thanks, Sheridan.
I hope you've enjoyed your time in Australia recently.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
There's, of course, a subject we don't mention at the moment, beginning with C-R-I-C-K-E-T, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yes. So tell me about this move of yours to Asia 40 years ago.
I'm 66 now. I was a student at Cambridge and no interest in mission, no interest in China, quite frankly. If you'd announced a mission meeting, I would have gone off to play soccer or something. And I was in hospital and I grabbed a book as I went in and it was on China and kind of read the first page or so. And then there was a TV program and then a nurse walked into my room, never said anything, turned to me and said, "Have you ever thought of being a missionary to China?" And it was one of those God moments that changed his life. I knew it was the Lord.
Isn't that
as simple as that?
And you said, "Well, I better." I think I better think about it.
It's a strange thing. The Lord had really dealt with me previously on surrender to Him, as opposed to just accepting Him as my Savior.
Yes.
And there wasn't any big battle. It was like that meant a blank sheet of paper, and He just leant over and wrote China. So that was it.
So it
should have been more complicated.
How long after that did you actually go to China? Or to Asia, wherever you went first?
Probably about 3 or 4 years later, yeah.
You got trained, you got ready, you got prepared.
Well, yeah, I was in training at the time, so finished that and had opportunity also to go to Russia in the early 60s, smuggling Bibles and that kind of thing, and, you know, saw people there that were so different from the people I was used to seeing in terms of they had found a level in Jesus that I guess most of us don't in our fairly comfortable situations. Mm. And I thought, hey, why not spend a life serving these people? Except the Chinese rather than the Russians. And that's what happened.
Mm. Is that vibrancy of faith because of the hardship?
I think persecution helps you sort out, you know, if we're going to do this, we might as well do it 100%. Yes, I do, actually. And at certain economic points, particularly China 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there's much less choice, isn't there? If you live in the countryside, there aren't any Rolls Royces or whatever, nice condos or whatever. And so it's one or the other without messing in the middle, really.
Mm. Right. Well, I'm sure we could talk for ages about those 40 years. Now what you're working with is Chinese Church Support Ministries, what, 20 years old as an organization?
20 plus, yeah.
And so you're supporting, what, 9 churches in 9 different nations, obviously including China.
Well, China's the focus.
It's the focus.
It's the main focus.
So what are you doing? What is the support you're giving to Chinese Christians?
Well, essentially the number one is prayer, because I know for some folk that sounds woolly and whatever, but actually when you look at China, you think of the city of Wenzhou, which was 30 years ago under enormous persecution. That's on the east coast of China, and they set up a 24-hour prayer chain. And it's now, in some areas outside, 15 to 20% Christian. And they have sent out workers all over China. So from going nowhere, afraid to be Christians, they turn to God in prayer and He answers. That's a reality today.
Huh. Yeah. So you mobilize people to pray for China and you've got prayer groups, what, all over the world?
Yeah. James Goss, our local, he's the Australian rep. He has a passion for prayer groups and get in touch with him through the website and he'll give you some material. We also put out a monthly prayer letter, which I believe is one of the best available. It's designed to educate on what's going on in China politically, what's going on in China economically, what's happening with its young people, what's happening with its church, and gives you 7 days of material through which to pray.
Okay, I'll give you the website address in just a second, so get your pens and papers handy. Now, just give us an idea, though, of just what the average Christian in China, these kinds of Christians that you're talking about that are actually so fired up for God, so fired up for Christ, that they're saying, I can't keep this to myself. I've got to share it with everybody else. What do they experience? What hardships?
Well, the two things that we focus on, number one is persecution. And we don't take a political stand on that, but we want to encourage them and support them. There are other good groups that kind of profile those kind of things. We don't feel that's our role. Our role is just to be there and support them and pray for them and just touch base with them. The persecution is a lot better than it was 20 years ago, but it's still very real. Last year's Olympics saw a real clampdown. This year is the 60th anniversary since the communists started running China. That's very, very important to them. Nobody's going to rain on the parade, so that will have an effect on believers, particularly in Beijing and the big cities. It's a lot easier than it was, but it's still a reality. There's a very well-publicized case in Beijing of a guy who printed Bibles and gave them away free and has been sentenced for 3 years prison for economic crimes, which is a little difficult to work out if you give Bibles away, because he didn't charge anybody anything.
For economic crimes.
Yeah, twice was found not guilty, but the police were determined to put him in prison, and he's a diabetic and there are serious implications. So there are bad cases like that. There's raids and other things that happen, but it is a lot better than it was. The second thing we really focus on is building them up in God's word. That if you know that, if you're going to follow Jesus, you need to know what the Bible says. For many of them, there's a shortage of Bibles. There's a shortage of teaching books. So we print about 1 million books a year and hand them out to believers. We have a little, you don't tell anyone and I won't, we got an illegal CD factory in there that's churning out 2,000 CDs a day.
A bunch of Christians manufacturing illegal CDs, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I often say we produce 2,000 a day, CDs, VCDs, DVDs of Bible teaching.
Yeah.
And I often say, Bill Gates says, copy and we'll sue you. We say, don't copy and we'll sue you.
And we'll sue you, right? Yeah. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
And so you just disseminate this information. Now, when it comes to the Bibles, many Christians will have heard of Brother Andrew and some of those organizations like Open Doors, who in the past, felt so strongly that they would take, bag loads of Bibles into China in whatever way they could. Do you still have to do that for Chinese Christians to be able to get a Bible, or can you get them now within the country?
There is a Christian printing press put in by the Bible Society called the Amity Press, Ida Jijinghui, in Nanjing. It does a good work, produces Bibles, it's just not enough. So, yes, there are other Bibles printed inside China, slightly less officially, and there are other Bibles that are taken in. There's an organization we work with, a tremendous group, because there's such a hunger for reading the Bible amongst many believers. I mean, it's really refreshing. Mm. You know, when you get people who say, thanks so much for what you brought, but why didn't you bring more? Is this a joke or something?
It's a bit hard to answer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Ross Patterson is the international director of an organization called Chinese Church Support Ministries. We're hearing about the work they're doing to just do that. I mean, the name says it all, supporting Chinese Christians in the plight that they actually have, is simply being people who want to know, love, follow, worship, serve Jesus Christ. Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast if you want to pass this interview on to a friend. So, describe the change that happens in the life of a Chinese person who does get one of those Bibles. I mean, what are you seeing? What are you witnessing? What's the life change that's happening for those people who do actually get the Bible and receive its message?
I think classically, the encounter with God tends to be more profound. Now, I know China in the cities, this is the other big change that's taking place, that China probably was 80% rural, 20% city 20 years ago. It's now around 50-50. You've got the biggest population move in history from the countryside to the cities of China. That is much more complex because city life is more difficult. But essentially, there's a genetic structure to the average Chinese believer over the years, which is, I'm actually here to share the gospel. In a way that probably we don't, or not as much. A lot of pastors kind of have to crank up folk to, you know, invite them to the meeting and this kind of thing. I'm going to give you an example, and it's a guy who's older now, but he said 20 years ago, whatever, my family and I were in the countryside. We were peasants. We were poor. We were all sick, mother, father, myself, no money, no help, nothing. This evangelist came to town and said, well, you need to seek Jesus because he'll heal you. And he did. And he said, well, I just started and planted a church. And one day I was out in the fields and the Gong'an, the security, raided, but I was in the field. So I merely went to the next village and did the same thing again. And it was kind of that dynamic of amazing, courageous preaching of the word and the opposition to it that went with it. And obviously, as I say, city life is different, is much more complex, and because city people don't like country people coming in and telling them what to do. So you've got to almost retrain a generation to do that. And in any way we can, we want to help them, we want to stand with them.
What does the typical believer in Jesus in China experience from their family when they decide to follow Jesus? Where it might be a Buddhist or maybe a Confucian, or in some parts of China, of course, it might be an Islamic family. Well, what's the typical response?
Well, across the range you gave, I don't think there is a typical one. In a Buddhist situation, we have a mercy work. We do a lot of orphanage and work with the poor. One of that is with a Muslim people group that actually have never had a church in history. Now, that is, as you know, anywhere in that kind of environment is serious. That there are folk who've turned to the Lord, who found the Lord for themselves, but actually you can't tell this guy that that guy's a believer. It's that difficult. Mm. In your average Chinese, increasingly materialistic world, I don't think there is a big reaction now from families, generally speaking. Where you might get it is like a single daughter who they want to get married, and she doesn't want to marry an unbeliever because she feels there would be a difficulty and incompatibility there, difference of understanding, difference of beliefs, difference of direction, and there could be a lot of pressure. I've seen letters written by believers saying, my parents want me to marry this guy, and we're just not on the same planet, really. So it's really difficult.
Mm. You have been serving in Asia for 4 decades now. David Ackman, the well-known former Time journalist, has suggested, you know, that China could well, if it continues to go the way it is, it could actually well be the next kind of Christian superpower. Could he be right?
You read the book, Jesus in Beijing.
Well, we had him here. He actually sat right where you were now, and he actually said exactly the same thing.
I know David, and I love him. I think it already is a superpower in the sense, spiritually. And I mean, it's 100 million believers, probably. And they are beginning to, you've probably heard of the Back to Jerusalem movement, so-called, of sending them out. They are going out slowly as missionaries. And they're much more cost-effective than some from other ends of the world.
How so?
But there is a reality here that we need to understand. And one of the things we do both inside China and in Taiwan, we run a school of missions. And it's simply to train people who are going on the mission field. Because they're passionately in love with Jesus doesn't mean to say they're going to turn the world on its head. They need understanding of cross-cultural stuff. My culture, your culture even is different. When we get into ex-Soviet republics and that kind of thing, or North Thailand even, where they're going, it's different. So one of the exciting things that's happened recently in our Taiwanese base, which is Chinese-speaking and is Chinese people, is they've started saying to our Taiwan folk, would you train us in mission? And that thrills me, actually, because all we want to do is serve, whether it's an orphan who nobody cares about, or whether it's somebody needing books and Bibles, or whether it's somebody with a passion to go and needs help to go. We just want to try and be a bridge to them.
This is Open House Across the Nation. Ross Patterson is the international director of this Chinese Church Support Ministries. Pretty exciting stuff, it really is. I was speaking to an Indian recently, and he was saying you Westerners have, particularly you Western Christians, have kind of lost some aspects of the broader Christian understanding of the world, and one of those is spiritual realities. Mm. When you talk about some of the experiences that the Chinese folk are actually having over there, that are coming to Jesus, and then are so full of excitement and love and his power to go and share that with other people, what kind of spiritual opposition have you seen take place there that you can only say this is actually happening from an unseen realm? It's not natural.
I know to a lot of our listeners this is spooky, but if you believe in a real devil, in a personal devil, which I do actually, then you realize that any forward movement for God is going to be opposed. It can be accidents that happen. It can be stuff that takes people out. You know, you see, I've seen fantastic people who I would regard as more anointed than I am, and they're nowhere today because they were taken out of it by sin, by other things. And I think you face that kind of battle a lot of the time. Excuse me. But the other thing is, I think, it expressed very much in persecution terms that I once said to a brother, this was 10, 20 years ago, I said, I'd just been to such and such a city. I met a guy who'd been in prison for 20 years. He said, that isn't a good definition because there's so many who were. That just to make that statement doesn't define anything. You'd need to.
There's been so many Chinese Christians that have been in prison for 20 years.
That's it. Yeah, and as I say, it's much improved now. But there is, I think Satan opposes any time we move for God. And I think the encouragement with the Chinese is they've just pressed through that. And what that says to us is the same God is available for us. That we struggle with stuff. Two of our three main leaders of 2 years ago were taken out through bizarre accidents for a period of time. I was one of them, and stuff happens and you say, Lord, if you've got a moment, I really would like to know what this was about. I still don't. But we press on, actually.
Yes.
One of the great believers, one of the great leaders, house church leaders in China, a guy called Wan Mingdao, when he was released from 22 years in prison, he said this: tell the young people in the West, many start well, but few finish well. And if you get that as a kind of mandate of the Chinese church, it kind of puts our little battles into perspective.
Certainly does. Ross, it's really inspirational to talk to you. I guess it comes back down to prayer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For those Christians that are listening, you were saying before, what's the main thing that you do? You just raise people to pray because you believe prayer works.
Yeah.
How many people would you like, how many Australians would you like to see praying for the Chinese church and for you and for your co-workers?
Well, to one degree or another, every believer should be praying for China. Come on, economically, it's a huge powerhouse in our world. Militarily, it's a huge powerhouse. If China says block to the problems we face, North Korea, Iran, that's it. So we need to be praying for that country because they're fantastic people, they're wonderful people, they're emerging on our world scene like a racehorse, and we need to be praying for them because it could be a force for enormous good in our world. It could be disastrous. Now, we long for the intercessors, for the people who will say, look, I'm not just going to pray generally, I'm going to pray specifically, and that really makes a difference. So we want everybody and specialists.
Okay. All right. Well, the website is... Now, the organization is Chinese Church Support Ministries. The website is a little bit longer. It starts off AM, and that's for Antioch Ministries.
Missions.
Missions, okay. AMCCSM. AMCCSM.org. And that's where you can sign up for the prayer letter. All right. Ross, great to talk to you, and very inspirational too.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks so much. Ross Patterson, who's the International Director of Chinese Church Support Ministries. Again, that website, AMCCSM.org. If you're inspired as I am, you'd like to start praying for that whole country, like Ross said. This country has major ramifications for the history of the world and for the future of the world, not just spiritually, but economically and everything else.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.